update. I'm going to make some comments about where we are right now. I'll be followed by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of the Department of Health, and I'll ask him to introduce some of his team that's here. Dr. Patterson will give an update on some of the equipment, PPE that we're concerned about in Arkansas. And, of course, our Surgeon General, I appreciate Dr. Bledsoe being here to comment on some of the public activity as well. First, in terms of an update, some of you follow the public website, and that number has increased since the positive test results were released on the website. And this is rough, but rough in terms of the changing numbers. But as you can see, yesterday we had 33, and this chart was at 51. Now it's at 62. And so the number is 62 positive test results, and that includes additional 9 new counties across Arkansas that will be added to the geographic mix of where we're finding these positive cases. Again, let me say that this is not a surprise. It is simply a reflection of additional testing capacity that we have, and tests are coming in for the commercial test providers as well. But it does reflect the fact that we do have continued challenges in Arkansas, and we're starting to recognize the extent of the challenge that we face. It is clear to me that we do have increasing community spread. And whereas before it was primarily based upon travel, geography of where they have traveled to and back to Arkansas, and the numbers increased from there, but we did have one instance of community spread, and now there's more than just one. And so as a result of that, I'm announcing today additional directives that have been recommended to me from our public health team that have looked at this closely and determined what we need to do, again, to get a handle on this and try to shorten the time frame that this is such a disruptive action in American life and in our own lives and in our business lives and in our incomes and everything that really we see happening here in Arkansas at the present time. And so additional directives that I want to announce now, these will be followed by official Department of Health directive tomorrow. First, K through 12 schools will remain closed for on-site instruction an additional 3 weeks until April 17th. That will then be reevaluated based upon the public health conditions at the time. Let me emphasize, students and parents, education will continue through alternative instruction methods. It is important that we do not erase this time period from educational instruction, but that we continue it even though K through 12 schools remain closed for on-site instruction for until April 17th. Secondly, I'm directing that state government employees will conduct business through telecommuting and on-site work. On-site work will be limited to personnel that's necessary for the proper functioning of government. And as you know, that we have enormous claims for unemployment that have to be processed. We have Medicaid to deal with, important safety nets in our society, and those are important functioning of governments that will continue, but we will be limiting the exposure and the potential transmission, and so we are limiting and encouraging telecommuting. Third, hospitals, hospitals, clinics, and mental health facilities are mandated to screen staff and visitors with temperature and symptom screening. This is an important measure that many of them are already taking, but it is important that all of them take these steps. Fourth, in terms of bars and restaurants, where they, and I applaud the restaurant owners that have consistently taken health measures. They have moved to off-site, they've eliminated on-site dining, moved to carry out and other means to serve their customers. It's been spotted, but because of the increased community spread that we have seen, bars and restaurants will be closed for dine-in service and open for carry-out, drive-through, and delivery. Those licensed to sell beer and wine under any permit issued by the Alcoholic Beverage Control may have they're expanded so that they may sell corked or sealed bottles of wine to go with the purchase of food. Other specifics will be covered in the directive from ABC to carry out that mandate. And fifthly, I'm directing that indoor venues such as gyms are closed to non-essential functions. And so we're really separating what we need to be doing with what is optional to be doing and trying to reduce the risk of community spread and exposure, particularly of our vulnerable population. As a result of these directives, we want to add to our public message to businesses and to the general public. First, in terms of the businesses, we encourage our businesses to move to telecommuting, video conferencing, or remote work wherever possible. We recognize that's not possible in many circumstances, but those are the evaluations that businesses should conduct. They should implement screening of staff and visitors. They should enforce social distancing. And the businesses in Arkansas should plan for the future by updating continuity of operation plans. In other words, we want to keep business operating, and to do that, you have to plan for the future. You have to determine how you can keep your business going consistent with the public health guidance that's being provided today. To the public, older individuals and those with serious medical conditions should stay home to the extent possible. Avoid unnecessary contact with visitors. Secondly, avoid social gatherings of more than 10 people. Third, use the drive-through, carry-out, and delivery services of local restaurants. That only is a good public health practice, but it also supports the small business owner here in the state. Fourth, avoid unnecessary trips where exposure to large groups is likely. Fifth, enjoy walking, hiking, fishing, and other outdoor activities consistent with social distancing. And sixth, do not visit nursing homes, retirement centers, or long-term care facilities unless providing critical assistance. These are common sense measures that many are already taking in light of the national emergency and state emergency that we see. But we also wanted to make it very clear, and in terms of our churches and our synagogues, our mosque, we hope that they will continue to make good decisions, and while they make their own judgments and determinations with our separation of church and state, we do think that it would be wise that they also abide by these restrictions in terms of limiting the number of people and probably canceling services in most instances and looking for other ways to be able to fellowship, look for creative ways to be able to communicate their message. And so they need to be creative. They need to minister to their congregations with the same innovation that we're asking businesses to do. With that, I'd like Dr. Smith to come. And Dr. Smith, why don't you make your comments, and then we'll have Dr. Patterson, and then we'll go to some of your team.
Thank you, Governor. I understand these were big steps, but very appropriate for the situation that we are coming into. We have communicated with you daily so that you're aware of changes, and I think all the steps that we've made have been appropriate to where we are as this outbreak evolves. I want to give a little bit more details on some of the changes. We have gone from what we reported yesterday as 33 positive cases to 62. Those were 23 that were done in our lab and 6 that were reported to us from reference labs. And the 9 new counties that are added to our map are available on our website, but I'll just go through them. Pope County, Van Buren, Sevier, Searcy, Craighead, Clark, Poinsett, Independence, and Grant. Of the new cases. The majority were adults. We did have two children involved. There's three sort of frequently asked questions that I'd like to briefly address in my comments. First of all, what is a positive case? When we say it's a positive case, that is someone who has tested positive either at our lab or in one of the reference labs and been reported to us. Now, there's a lot of rumors and a lot of action going on based on something other than that. Sometimes it's just someone who's gone for a test for COVID-19. That's not a positive case. Only if they get a result back and that's positive do we consider it a positive case. Sometimes people take action based on someone who happened to be related to or had contact with a positive case. That's not a positive case either. If an individual has had contact with someone who has had a positive test result, if that person has no symptoms, they should self-quarantine for 14 days. Basically, try and remain at home, away from others as much as possible. If they develop symptoms, then they should either call ahead to their provider or they should go to one of the drive-through testing facilities and go ahead and get tested. If they test positive, then they are a case. Then that's what we consider a positive case, and it would be wise for them to contact the people that they've been in contact with and inform them of that. As we're getting more and more cases, we're going to have to redirect some of our contact investigation energies towards three priority areas. One is healthcare workers. That's a very important group because patients may have been exposed. The second is those who are residing in nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. Those are areas where we have very vulnerable individuals. And then other settings where a large number of individuals may have been exposed. Those are going to be our three priority groups. We're not going to be able to contact every single person in Arkansas who's had contact with a positive case, but we'll give that information out so people know what to do. Lastly, a question I've gotten is should we be afraid? And my short answer to that is no. This is a serious situation. We're going to need to make some pretty dramatic changes to our lives in the short term. But these are things that we have planned. These are things that we understand based on the situation. And we have many people working together in partnership to respond. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Chancellor Patterson, who is one of our many very good partners.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, and thank you, Governor Hutchinson, and your staff for your leadership in our efforts to contain and mitigate the COVID-19 outbreak here in Arkansas. There are several top-of-mind issues for us as we manage the situation across the state. The first is adequate screening of people who might have coronavirus infection. As I have mentioned previously, the most important top-of-mind issue to convey is that the worst place to be screened is in an emergency room or a physician's office. And the best place to be screened is either by telephone, online, and UAMS Health Now provides online services for initial screening, or in drive-through centers, and there are currently 8 drive-through centers. And you can be screened at through any of those three mechanisms to determine whether you actually need any testing at all. And so just to give you a point of reference, UAMS has screened 4,200 individuals since this outbreak began in Arkansas. Almost half of those were screened yesterday, so this is escalating very rapidly. We screened 1,500 individuals through our drive-through screening service, which is located right next to the hospital, and it's easy to find because there are signs everywhere. 25% of the people that we have screened, of those 1,500, have required coronavirus testing. And so far, of the people that we have screened at UAMS, 7 have turned up positive. So that gives you a rough sense of the proportion of positive tests that are turning up. Now, as time goes on, as the governor has said, it's to be expected that the number of identified individuals will increase, and that's not a cause for alarm. And as the availability of testing fluctuates, the number of positives fluctuate. That point where we reach a plateau, where we understand that there is containment, is going to be a lagging in the testing will be a lagging indicator. So our control of the infection will occur before we actually know that it occurs based on positive test results. And the positive test results would lag by about a week beyond the point in which we have containment. Now, testing is limited within the state of Arkansas. The Arkansas Department of Health has been the bellwether for providing testing services within the state, and I know they're working assiduously to increase their throughput. UAMS will have our own in-house assay for testing individuals who require COVID-19 testing, and that testing will be available no later than the beginning of next week. That will add an additional 240 assays per day to the number that can be performed within state. And then we've acquired three machines from GenMark that will allow us, each of those machines should be able to do about 150 assays per day. So that would get us roughly up to at least 600 assays per day at UAMS that will be added to the pool of assays that are available to be done within state. And the advantage of doing the assays in state is not only are we able to keep track, better track of who's getting the test, but the throughput is substantially improved. So our assays would be 6 to 9 hour turnaround time rather than the several day turnaround time that is we're seeing with the commercial assays. Testing is important, but also we need to think about how we manage the patients that we care for. Of the 61 patients who have been detected positive, only very few have required hospitalization. But hospitalized patients with COVID-19 infection are very, very resource intensive, including personal protective equipment that is necessary to protect healthcare providers and prevent spread. So just yesterday, our UAMS team, working with the Arkansas Department of Health, has issued new guidelines for healthcare providers within the state for appropriate personal protective equipment utilization and conservation so that we have the right equipment that is available. And then the Department of Finance and Administration, under Governor Hutchinson's guidance, has worked with the UAMS procurement and sourcing team to identify a source for very large bulk purchases of personal protective equipment that we can make available to hospitals across the state who want to repurchase it from that allocation. So I think that we are in a good state for the situation as it exists right now. Obviously, we are wargaming worse scenarios, so we are making sure that we have adequate hospital beds, ventilators, other needs that we will have for our patients should the situation continue to evolve. And two final comments. One is the governor just announced restrictions within the state very appropriately. We also are increasing the restrictions on visitation and egress within our healthcare facilities. Northwest Arkansas has announced a reduction in non-emergent clinical services. We did that here in Central Arkansas a few days ago, and we're all restricting visitation and patient access. And we ask the public's understanding that this is for their own good as well as for the good of our healthcare providers who are putting themselves in harm's way. And lastly, as we shut down schools, we're also shutting down venues for blood donation. There is no restriction on blood donation, but with fewer blood drives, that is going to put pressure on our blood supply here in Arkansas. So I would encourage everyone to be civic-minded and think about this as a particularly opportune time to take an hour from your day and provide a pint of blood because it's going to be needed by somebody out there.
Blood, sir. So thanks, Governor, and thanks to Drs. Smith and Patterson. I just wanted to cover a couple of things. I've been talking to a lot of folks in the healthcare community,
There have been a few issues that have continued to come up. Of course, the big one is the testing issue, and that's been already addressed by Dr. Smith and Patterson. It's not there where we want it, but it's been greatly enhanced and greatly increased, and so we're headed in the right direction. The other issue that the providers were consistently reaching out to me about was telemedicine. Thanks to the governor's proclamation, telemedicine has been opened up in the state, and this is really important for our state for a couple of reasons. First of all, patients, we don't want them running to the clinic, especially if they're sick, because they can expose other people. But we know that patients need to get in to see their doctors. They need to be able to get their chronic medicines and those sort of things. So by empowering telemedicine, the patients can stay at home. They can interact with a telemedicine platform or through the phone with their provider. And then the other thing that Governor Hutchinson's proclamation did was it allowed reimbursement to the clinicians for the work they're doing. This is important not only for the patients, but also for the clinics, because what we don't want to have happen in a crisis is have some of these rural clinics that are dependent on their patients coming in and seeing them and being reimbursed for these visits to suddenly be in a financial crisis and have to shut their doors. That would be a nightmare. So the telemedicine situation, by opening it up, has solved two major issues, and that's been a really good thing for the state. And then lastly is the PPE issue. This obviously has been a huge concern. I've heard from a number of individuals around the state who are working in clinics, nursing homes, emergency departments, and the like. Dr. Patterson and Dr. Smith have already touched on this. But I've had a number of people who've reached out to me. And interestingly, I've had a number of private citizens who, in a panic a month ago or 2 months ago, went out and bought large stashes of surgical masks and N95 masks. And so last night on my Twitter feed, I made a comment about this, and I said, if you have a large stash and you are feeling guilty or you want to do something with that, contact me, because I have people in the private sector who will pay for those and take them off your hands, and we can put them to good use. And you know, the purpose of that is not to cast judgment or to ask questions. It's just to get protection for those who are in the field. We want our people protected. And the way I look at this is that this is hand-to-hand combat at this point. This is trench warfare, and we're going to leave no stone unturned to get the resources that our people need to stay protected and to do the job that they have been sacrificially doing. And my last comment is just simply this. Over the course of the last 5 days, I've been on the phone a number of hours. I've talked to literally hundreds of people around the state, not just healthcare folks, but business leaders, hospital CEOs, insurance executives, elected officials on the state and national level. And it has been really an unbelievably inspiring experience for me. I wish that the people of Arkansas could be like a fly on the wall and see some of these conversations and these interactions. Without exception, these individuals that I've spoken with have gone above and beyond to help in any way they possibly could. Most of them, if not all of them, have given me their personal cell phones and said, call me anytime, day or night, if I can help you or the state with anything. And it, to me, is a great reminder that we live in an incredible state. We're a small state, but we're connected very tightly. We have a tight community here. We all know each other. And the fact that I can pick up the phone and call folks on their cell phone and get the answers that we need to help fight this virus is an amazing thing and a great advantage for us in Arkansas. So really thankful for that, thankful for Governor Hutchinson's leadership and the leadership of Drs. Patterson and Smith as we move forward.
Before we turn over questions, I'd like to have Dr. Smith come and introduce some of the key members of your team, and I know some of them have some special comments that you might want to have them make.
Very good. Thank you, Governor. The Arkansas Department of Health has really got a large team. Most of them are very, very busy working on our response, but I ask four of them to come up here because I think it's important for you to see who they are and hear some of the issues that you...
Dr. Patel.
Yes. So that you can hear some of the issues that either you have questions about or probably should be asking questions about. First, I'd like to have Dr. Geraldine Jones, who was with us yesterday. Dr. Jones is an emergency medicine physician. She's on the faculty at UAMS, but also our medical director for preparedness and response. I'd like to have her briefly share some of the activities that we are involved in to respond to COVID-19. Geraldine?
Thank you, Dr. Smith. So really briefly, I just want to let everyone know that the preparedness branch, as well as everyone in the Department of Health, have an all hands on deck approach for this outbreak. We are steadily working overtime to make sure that the individuals and the citizens of Arkansas are protected. So some of the things that we are operating on, our Emergency Operations Center is fully staffed and fully operational, meaning that everyone is down there working hours beyond normal duty hours, some of them 24 hours a day, to make sure that we get information to where it needs to go, whether that be with our federal partners or out to the community. Our nurses are performing contact tracing, and Dr. Smith already alluded to some changes that will be happening with respect to that, but that is an important service that we are providing as we go through this event. We are also working very diligently with our federal partners to procure PPE. I know that is an issue that has come up a number of times, and it has been addressed multiple times from this dais. There's partnerships with our industrial partners in terms of things that can be procured and paid for, but we're also working with our federal partners to get the things that we need for the state. We were allotted 25% of our allotment in our first shipment, and we expect more, and we will get those out to individuals that need it as soon as possible. The other thing I'd like to bring up is that our call center has been operating at full capacity and has fielded over 6,400 calls since it opened, with a very, very small backlog. So people are working very diligently to make sure the public knows what they has the information that they need to move forward. Finally, I just want to make sure that everyone knows where to go for information. We'd like for people to visit our website at www.healthy.arkansas.gov for information with respect to the outbreak, as well as feel free to call the call center at 1-800-803-7847. If there's any information that is not available on the website, you can reach out to us as well, because we want to get the information to you all that you need. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. I'd like to also introduce Dr. Naveen Patil, who is an infectious disease specialist. He's our medical director for infectious diseases and is also voluntary faculty at UAMS. I've asked Dr. Patil to talk a little bit about what businesses can do to help slow or prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Thank you, Governor and Dr. Smith. Just like healthcare facilities and other institutions are implementing measures to screen their employees, we would like to encourage all businesses, whether large or small, to start screening their employees for fever and symptoms like fever, cough, or sore throat, so that you can implement protective measures for your other employees and continue to do your business operations. Also, if you can ensure availability of hand sanitizers within your businesses, and also if employees can be spaced around within the facility, that would also help mitigate some of the situation. So just to emphasize, hand washing, screening of employees would go a long way, just like other healthcare institutions and other entities have done. We would like to encourage all businesses to be proactive. There are several businesses that I've heard have already have a plan of continued operations and what to do. If you suspect any case or have any issues with that, you can call our hotline and we can guide you through how to mitigate the issues. Thank you.
Next, I would like to have Stephanie Williams, my chief of staff, to come and talk a little bit about rural areas and how they can implement some of these changes. Stephanie has worked and lived in rural Arkansas for much of her career and has a lot of insight. This is rural health has been a special area of interest for her. Stephanie?
Thank you, Dr. Smith. I would just mention that as somebody that's lived in rural Arkansas, I know we're familiar with how to do this. We're typically pretty self-sufficient, and when we live 30 miles plus from some of our cities and major metropolitan areas. And so I've just tried to remind myself that, you know, we can handle this. We've done this. We do this every time we have a significant weather event in our state and we have to make changes. It's challenging for all of us to implement and observe the plans that we are having to implement for social distancing. but it's certainly doable. And it also gives us an opportunity to spend time with family, to think about those in our family that in particular may feel very isolated by some of these things. They don't use smartphones. They may not use the internet or have access to the internet. This is a good time to check on friends and family by phone or stopping by and just saying hello from the driveway. There are things that we can do. It gives us an opportunity to be creative, and I heard a story yesterday about a family that was using this as an opportunity to teach their kids how to write a letter. You know, sometimes we forget some of these things that we do socially. Some of those things are still really very effective and very meaningful. So I would just say this gives us an opportunity to think about others and how we can do that. I also want to mention county judges and mayors. I've spoken to quite a few. Also, some of the staff that are working out in our community health centers and our private clinics, they've been really great about thinking about how to serve folks there at the local level in those small communities. And I know they have ideas and guidance that they'll be sharing. But I just think our local communities, you know, we need to think about how we can support one another, how we can check on one another, and we can handle this. It is going to be stressful, but we can do it. Thank you.
You got one more introduction?
I do.
All right. We got to get questions here right. Pretty quick.
Yes. Finally, I'd like to have Dr. Greenfield come and speak to us again briefly about some of the challenges, some of the issues messaging to our diverse communities in this state.
So good afternoon. So the focus of everything today has been a state that is under a big challenge. And minority communities, diverse communities, we are all facing this together. We're a family. I would like the communities of color, and I would like the state as a whole to know that we're really in this together. And that while the information that's being provided seems to be coming very fast, it's as if we're drinking from a fire hydrant. The information is valid, but there's a lot of information, and in some cases there's misinformation. But the resources that we provided for you today and the messaging that we're providing for you today are all united to make us a stronger state and a stronger people. So as we come here today, just keep in mind that we're working through this, and we will get through this together.
Thank you very much. And I have my Secretary of Education, but I'm going to wait for an education question because I think it might come up, and we'll pull him up here at that point. Yes?
Well, let's throw it right out there then. What's the status of state testing right now?
All right. Secretary Key, there was a reason you're here.
So the status of state testing, as you know, until today, we had planned to start back to school after spring break. Given that is now delayed for at least another 3 weeks, we are looking at all the options. I know that there's also a conversation going on in Washington right now with the U.S. Department of Education regarding assessment and accountability. So we're keeping an eye, and we are directly involved in those conversations. So nothing certain on that yet, but I'm sure that we'll have an answer within the next several days.
Yeah.
Governor, you've been heavy in your praise of the private sector and the way they've acted responsibly up until now. So why this mandatory closure now? And you mentioned April 17th for the schools, but how long for the gyms, the restaurants, and the bars?
Well, in those terms, first of all, that should start tomorrow, and it should be until further notice. And so that is the circumstance until we're able to get a handle on this and know exactly where we are as a state. And I do applaud, again, the private sector, the business owners. But whenever I look at it, a majority of them have already gone to no dining in, carry out only. And so this gives some level playing field to everyone, first of all. But also it extends some opportunities for them that we've talked with some of the restaurant owners as to what we can do that would be helpful to them. And so it's going to be a very difficult time. We're going to lose some businesses as a result of this. We hopefully only for a short time, but we also want to help as many survive as they can. And so there's some options here, and they're being innovative as to how to carry out and serve the public consistent with this, and they're very public-minded. I mean, many of them have made the judgments already that this is the right thing to do, to go to carry out. But with the expansion of some of the the number of counties that this is involved in. It need to go statewide. And with the increased incidences of community spread, this is necessary.
Has there been anything, I guess, tossed around about potentially suspending foreclosures, evictions, things like that?
Well, there's discussions, first of all, with the Department of Finance and in terms of the tax filing. I expect just as the federal tax filing, it will remain the same on April 15th. The federal government is delaying their payment schedule and delaying that. And so that's something that we're looking at. I'm going to be meeting as I leave here with our finance people to see what we should be doing as a state. In terms of foreclosures, rents that are due, I'd call upon the business owner, the landlord, the energy companies to be compassionate, to understand there's going to be a loss of income. Let's work with them, and let's make sure that we act in the right way to our neighbors. But those are private sector decisions, that there's not any government mandate in that regard. Yes, John.
The ACLU wrote you a letter asking you to consider commuting sentences of prisoners who have health risks or are in the final year of their sentence. Have you given that consideration, or have you had any other talks with local officials about how to ease crowding at criminal detention facilities?
Our first obligation is to make sure that we keep the prisons safe, healthy, and that's one of the reasons we've had two different directives that's tightened up. And really, just as we did in long-term care facilities with prohibiting visitors, we've also prohibited visitors for the time being in our prison community. And that's a real hardship, as it is on our senior citizens. But it was necessary to maintain the health and reduce the potential of exposure. More broadly than that, I'm not aware of any particular problem with overcrowding. I think it's being maintained properly and taking the proper precautions. We'll continue to look at it. The Board of Corrections has their emergency powers in the event that there is a need to take action. Janelle.
Dr. Bledsoe mentioned telemedicine and really praised that effort. But we've heard from some folks saying that their insurance companies, because they weren't prepared for this, aren't working with them on telemedicine. Is there any instruction that you can give maybe to the Department of Insurance to work or encourage insurance companies to act in that way?
Do you want to answer that?
Sure. That's a great question. And one of the big problems with all that's happened is there's been so much change in so little time. I've been in touch with a variety of insurance executives and over at DHS as well, and the payers are in agreement. This is a crisis. They're doing everything they can to adjust. I've also talked to a lot of providers who've said, well, this insurance company or that insurance company isn't reimbursing me or has said. And I think what that is not coming from the top. I think it's everything's changed so quickly that the memo hasn't gotten down to all the employees in the insurance companies just yet. And so the people who are answering the phones might not have the most recent adjustments. But from what I can tell, our insurance companies and other payers are adjusting to this crisis and are doing everything they can to make sure they're following the directives of Governor Hutchinson's proclamation.
Yeah, we've only recently gotten CPT codes for this billing, so that has to be plugged into the system. So there's a delay there, but we at UAMS have experienced nothing but support for this transition.
In terms of people who test positive, are they still going to be required to be quarantined? And are you going to be checking on them to see if they're actually quarantined?
Yes. Anyone who has been in contact with a case, a positive case, someone who's tested positive for COVID-19, then they do need to be in self-quarantine for 14 days. If they develop symptoms, then they need to be tested. As we're increasing the number of people who have had contact, though more and more of that is going to have to be on the initiative of the individuals to go ahead and do that, we will have less and less ability to do that follow-up on each particular individual. We will focus on healthcare workers, nursing homes, situations in which there are large numbers who have been in contact or been exposed. But we're going to have to depend more and more on individual Arkansans taking the initiative and doing those things to protect to protect other people in their community.
And the people that actually themselves tested positive, are you going to be keeping track of them?
We will continue to monitor them. If they're at home, we'll continue to keep in touch with them, make sure they have what they need, but stay in home isolation. Obviously, if they go into a healthcare setting, then that will be under the hospital or wherever they're gone.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, the healthcare provider or system that makes the diagnosis has a responsibility to follow up individuals who test positive.
How many cases of community spread do we have? You mentioned more than one now.
With the really substantial increase in the number of cases, we're still tracking down information on these. Most of these are either contacts of a known case, and some are travel-related, but there are some we don't yet know exactly how they acquired their infection, and some of them we may not. But we're seeing more and more parts of our state reporting cases, more clusters will likely become obvious. We'll try and understand this as well as we can, but we want our focus to be on preventing the spread. Later on, we can study the epidemiology.
Do we have a current demographic breakdown on this? Does it tend to be more elderly? You mentioned two children are involved in this too.
Can you hand the again, with the rapid increase in cases, I don't have as much analysis as I'll have for you at future press briefings. I can say that of the cases that we've had so far, six have been children, 15 have been 65 and older, and 41 have been adults in age range of 19 to 64. And we'll have more information for you in subsequent briefings.
Do you expect an influx of people going to grocery stores, retailers with this restriction on restaurants, and do you have any advice for them to
As the governor has said, we want to encourage all people in Arkansas to avoid any unnecessary travels and visits to places where there are other people. And this includes shopping. We don't want people to stop shopping for groceries, but you don't make unnecessary trips, and when you go, practice social distancing so you're not in close contact with your neighbors and others who could facilitate the spread of COVID-19. Again, we have to live our lives, but we need to be very mindful that there's risk now in our community that we didn't have before.
We have a question right here.
Can you clear up a couple of things? How many of the drive-thrus are strictly screening, and how many of them actually can you get swabbed?
We have been collecting that information, and we will be putting that on our website hopefully by the end of today, if not tomorrow. We do have sites that do that throughout the state in addition to the large site at UAMS, and we'll make that available. I do recommend, though, for those before you go to a test site is to call, and we'll have those contact numbers ahead. There are all sorts of supply chain issues, as you can imagine. You
swabs,
want to
yes, someone swabs. Said yesterday the Little Rock Task Force that swabs were.
Yes, and we're working to address that issue, but there'll be other bottlenecks as we go along. You just want to call ahead and make sure that they're actually testing at that time.
Can you clear up for me? Who are you restricting from hospitals?
It's not a one size fits all because visitation, for instance, for pediatric patients, the limitations that you can impose are very different than limitations that you can impose on adult patients. So it really depends on specific patient populations that you're talking about. But in general, we have been at one visitor per patient at UAMS during restricted hours, and we are looking at ways to make that more stringent because we think that that's the right thing to do.
The directive that goes out from the Department of Health will give some specific guidance on screening visitors and staff. Our objective is to help prevent people who are incubating or who are, have active COVID-19 infection from coming in and exposing patients and other staff.
Back here, John.
Can you give us an update on some of those earlier cases? How many people who had previously been hospitalized have been released? How many people are in ICU?
That's very dynamic, and I really am going to try and get you accurate information, but there's people coming and going. We really only have about two or three people in the hospital at this time. There have been some who have been admitted and discharged. We have a couple who have been in and out of nursing homes. So it's a very dynamic situation, and I can't give you an accurate number at this point in time, but we'll try and give some guidance on that. Remember, these numbers change, but we'll try and provide that as we go along.
What would be the point that we deem somebody recovered from one of these cases?
Well, there's a symptom recovery when someone's feeling fine. We have put out guidance now on how we can determine when someone is considered safe to go back to their usual activities, and that's also on our website. And that's there for clinicians.
One final question right here.
Dr. Patterson, you mentioned that you guys are looking at restricting further the visitation. We've heard from some pregnant women, for instance, who are being told they have to choose between having their midwife or their spouse in the delivery room with them because of these restrictions. Are there any exceptions for medical professionals, or are you guys looking at...
Our guidelines are guidelines, and there are always situations in which, on a case-by-case basis, you know, for instance, end-of-life issues where exceptions are made, and we're weighing the balance between what we can do to be compassionate and what we can do to be safe, and sometimes it's a difficult consideration to make, and I think our healthcare providers are doing a great job under difficult circumstances.
As you can see from the actions that we've taken today, we're being very aggressive and leaning forward to get a handle on this, to do all we can to make the pain that we're having now in our society and in our businesses short-lived. And that's the whole goal, and that's objective of what we're doing. I want to thank all of the team here that's done extraordinary work under very difficult circumstances. And thank you all again for making sure that the public is aware of exactly what's happening step by step in our state. Thank you very much.